thank for Brother Gary keeping me at bay, as well as the Lord. All right. This month, we are supposed to touch on building strong families. When you build something, before you start building, you're supposed to have a strong foundation. I think I kind of went a different direction, though. That's okay. That's the kind of guy I am. Full of surprises. The scripture for this morning I chose was Matthew 7. If you have your Bibles, if you don't mind, you please turn there with me. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. We're going to look at a couple things. When I was reading and studying this, a couple things jumped out at me. One of things jumped out at me right away. And it started in verse 24, where it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," and actually, the pastor and I were here Wednesday night going through this, and the pastor pointed it out to me, and the pastor asked me, what word is he talking about? And of course, I gave him an answer, and it was a right answer, but it was the wrong answer. So I'm going to ask you guys, what words is, and you see it's in red, so it's Christ talking. So what words is Christ talking about here when it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine." Same response I gave. Exact same response. Exact same response. Because it's like, you know, Christ said a lot of stuff. I mean, it's the Bible. Somebody throw out something, though. What words do you think?
It says anyone. So that'd be anybody who is.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Moody. You don't have to raise your hand.
Lessons and taught.
Amen. What lessons, though?
Like the commandments.
Amen, Sister Maria. What lessons? Well, come on, somebody else.
The written word, the Bible.
Amen. What else? One more. Amen. All right. Because it shocked me too. Well, not so much shocked me, but it's like, like an aha moment. So, if you would not mind, what book are we in right now? Matthew. Yes. All right. So, let's start. We're going to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5. And we want to start in verse 3. In verse 3, Matthew 5, verse 3 to 20 is what we're going to kind of look at. Because Matthew 5, verse 3 is kind of sort of like an introductory, if you will, to what Jesus is going to start talking about before he gets into like this whole breakdown of the opposite of what the Pharisees and the scribes were talking about. He's going to start teaching the opposite of what the Pharisees and scribes were teaching them back then and kind of throw a curveball, if you will, of what Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27 breaks down right here. So as we look at it, and we start here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 12 is talking about the Beatitudes. the blessings. Then we go through 13 to 16 is the salt and the light, the believers of the world. Then you go further down, it talks about how Christ fulfilled the law. That's the introductory, the kind of the introduction of it. Then, starting in verse 21 is where it gets a little bit, this is where it's going to start to get a lot of people going to get lost at here. Where it talks about murder. Murder begins in the heart. It's not saying that you have to physically go out and kill somebody. If you think about it in your heart, and this is what I was talking about earlier, where I was saying Christ kept me at bay, and I thank God that he did, because it was a situation this week that the Lord kept me at bay. I thank God that he did. I thank God that I am finally now grounded in Christ. Tamu came home from school Monday. Of course, Monday was a beautiful day. Nobody really wanted to be in the house. He came home from school and he wanted to go play with his friend. Not a problem. About 15 minutes later, he came back in the house. He wanted to go to Taco Bell with his friend. I was kind of against it. Go ahead and go. About 20 minutes went by, he came back in and his face was scarred up. His glasses was off his face and he was kind of huffing and puffing real heavy. And I looked at his face some more and he had kind of a knot over his left eye. Kind of had a bruise under his eye. And an adult male had attacked him. Over a card game called Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm not real familiar with it. Me personally, I really don't care for the game. And so Tamu's describing what happened. They were playing the game. Tamu beat the guy in the game. And Tamu's a kid, so when a kid wins at something, they really brag about it. You know, I won, nana, 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 whatever the case may be. So the guy got mad, chased Tamu, punched Tamu in the back. He slapped Tamu's glasses off his face to the point to where it scarred Tamu's nose up in here, scratched his face up, punched him in his face. Left him scarred up pretty bad. So as a parent, you want to do what you can to protect your child. At this point, I about forgot I was a Christian. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. And I forgot I was an elder of a church. I'm going to be honest. I went around to the person's house, knocked on the door. I'm not going to mention any names. Where is this person at? Where is this person that I want to talk to him? I didn't go around there for no words. At this point, I'm beyond words. I mean, I'm looking at my son's face and he's beat up by an adult. Should no other adult be able to do this to your child and get away with it? To add insult to injury, we called the police. The police tell us there's nothing that they can do about it. So now my temper went from here to here. Well, you can imagine my fury at this point in time. So now Wednesday night comes, I have to meet with the pastor to try to work on this sermon that I'm working on now. I tell the pastor, like, Pastor, I really can't do it. I don't know if I can do a sermon in front of the congregation, how I'm feeling right now. But I know for a fact I need to be here. Something is tugging at my heart telling me I need to be here. I need to sit here. I need to do this sermon because this is where I need to be. You know, so when I saw this here, murder begins in the heart, I'm just like, wow. I really need to repent. I really and truly need to ask the Lord to forgive me, because even though I didn't get the chance and the opportunity, because had I got the opportunity, I probably would have. I probably wouldn't be standing here today. Thank God that I didn't have that opportunity. It made me think of when Peter got off the boat and he supposed to keep his eyes focused on Christ, and he almost drowned. And thankfully, he had the sense to reach his hand up and grab and reach for Christ. At that point in time, I didn't have the sense to grab and reach for Christ. In my opinion, I completely drowned. But Christ went in after me and said, let me save this boy. Let me get this brother up out this water, because he's not thinking straight right now. So I thank God that he knew already in advance that I was going over here to attack. So murder begins in the heart. So I repent. I thank God that he is a forgiving God, a long-suffering God, that I can repent. So with that being said, we move on to the next section. Matthew 5, 27 to 30, talks about adultery. Adultery begins in the heart. So you don't have to go out and physically commit it. You think it, it's done. And it talks about marriage in the next section, 31 to 32. Marriage is sacred. And it goes from Jesus forbids oaths. People are quick to say they swear to God on something or someone. 38 to 42, go the second mile. What does that mean? Excuse me. Go the second mile. When someone does wrong to you, and this is kind of parallel to the murder thing, and further down the line talks about love your enemies. Go the second mile. So what? Somebody does something to you. I mean, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. I can attest to that. I just spoke about it. But, I mean, Matthew 7:24-27 just says, you know, if you don't do the words, you're not going to be in his kingdom. And I'm still repenting from my actions this week. You know, 43 to 48, love your enemies. That's still a hard one for me. That's still a difficult one for me. It's still a hard pill to swallow. Then we get to chapter 6, 1 to 4. Do good to please God. So that means if you do a good deed, don't brag about it. Don't brag about it. Hey, I bought some orange juice. Okay, you bought some orange juice. Good deal. So what? You bought some orange juice. Hey, cool. 6:5-15, the model prayer. We all know how to pray. I hope we all know how to pray. 16 to 18, fasting. Fasting for God. Not fasting for somebody else. 19 to 21 is talking about laying up treasures in heaven. So all these worldly possessions that people get caught up in. These are the sayings that Christ is talking about. And it goes all the way down to do not worry. This is the one that got me. Lamp of the body, where it talks about the eye. If your eye is in darkness or whether it's in light. Still confusing me. I got to study that one out, so I'm not going to touch on that one. And I don't want to give you the wrong information about that one. Do not judge. That's pretty much self-explanatory. Matthew 7. Chapter 7, 13 to 14, talks about the narrow way. Very difficult. because the broad way is so easy. There was a sermon I listened to called God's Obstacle Course one day. And it talks about how God's way is so difficult, people like to give up. Don't give up. Please don't give up on God's way. Keep pushing forward toward the mark. God is standing there with your reward in his hand at the end of the tunnel. Your reward is going to be greater than the trial and tribulation that you are going through right now. I promise you, I guarantee you that. Keep pushing forward. It's worth it. 15 7:15-20 talks about false teachers. Beware of them. Matthew 7:21-23 is something I pray that I do not hear for any one of us here. It's something that says, I never knew you. I do not want to hear that for any one of us seated here or anyone that I love. I love a lot of people. Can't say that I love all my enemies, not yet. But I'm not going to lie, some of them I wouldn't mind hearing that right now. Now I need to change that or I won't make it. So, and then 24 through 27 is what my sermon is about today. Building your house on the rock. So, another thing that jumped out on me today, well, not today, but when I was reading this, how many groups of people are in this passage of scripture between 24 and 26? If you read this, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will make him to a wise man. Then if you read 26, it says, but anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. There's two different groups of people here. My question is, which one are you today? You don't have to answer. I'm not looking for an answer. That's something personal. That's something between you and God. And myself and God. Which person are you today? Is your house built on the rock? Or is your house built on the sand? If it's built on the rock, the storms are going to come, but your house won't be as easily torn down. If it's built on the sand, when the storms come, your house is going to fall. It's going to be a great fall. It's my prayer for you today, brothers and sisters, that your house is built based on the rock and not the sand. Because I'm going to tell you, the storm is coming. It's going to be a great storm. When is it coming? I have no idea. I wish I knew. It's not for us to know, though. But it is coming. In closing, ask yourself today. And like I said, I don't need to know. But where is your foundation? What is your foundation based upon? Is it on the rock? Where your foundation built upon the sand? It is my prayer, my hope, that it is built upon the rock. The rock meaning Christ. That is my prayer for you this morning. As we get ready to close, excuse me. Well, on situations in your life that could have completely drove you from Christ, could have completely took you all the way back to where you once were. This situation just this week could have took me all the way back to where, all the way back to the beginning, before I even had Christ in my life. Very easily. Back to when I was back partying and drinking. Very easily. Just looking at my son's face and how this guy bruised my son's back. Very easily. And I thank and praise God that he didn't. I thank God that he stepped in and intervened and did what he did and do what he do best. I thank and praise God that he did know a different way. As I get ready and pray, let's think and meditate on situations that may occur or could occur in your life that Satan can throw. Just like Job, one swoop, he lost everything. All his stock, his kids. One day, even his wife told him, curse God and die. And he still kept his faith, kept his focus, kept his eyes turned upon Christ. One time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just want to say thank you for giving us the strength and the courage to be able to turn to you in time of need and be able to face the storms that come our way. Father God, we thank you in advance for being there for us to help us through the storms that are going to come. Father God, we cannot and we are unable to do it alone. Lord, we are telling you right now that we need you. Father God, we tell you right now that we put you first and foremost in our lives. Father God, not only do we hear the words and the sayings, Father God, we are willing to apply and do them. We're willing to continue to push forward and press forward the mark, Father God. Not be and get distracted, Lord, by what the devil is throwing at us. Because, Lord, we look forward to seeing you face to face when you step through those clouds. Father, we do not want to hear those words, I never knew you. We look forward to hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, we thank you once again in advance. And, Lord, we love you. We bless you and we praise your name. And, Father, excuse me, thank you for being who and what you are. And, Lord, thank you for allowing me to get through this sermon. This is my current Jesus name.